Okay, Mr. Wilson, we're going to get ready to start your hearing, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir. So just hang on, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you doing this morning?
Great. How about you?
Wonderful.
Excellent. So can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
It's Craig Wilson, 297011.
All right, thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the 5 allegations that appear on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing. I see you signed your form on November 16th, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. One of those rights, your hearing rights are listed on that form, and one of the rights is that you could hire an attorney at your expense. I see an attorney there, and we don't have one in the room. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that's fine. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. If you look on this on the screen there, you see the opposite end of the bench from me is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today.
Yes.
Also with us here is Mr. Osborne, and he's a community corrections officer representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer. There, you can see Mr. Osborne now. There he is. So before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Osborne in. So Mr. Wilson and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
All right, Mr. Wilson, your hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. In phase 1, we determine if you violated the conditions of supervision. And in phase 2, we determine if your community supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So just in phase 1, Mr. Wilson, I'm going to read information from your warrant, read these 5 allegations to you. And as I read each one to you, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. Okay, do you understand that process?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so here we go. This is the beginning of phase 1, and the first allegation is that you have violated the conditions of supervision and lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company by violating condition number 12A as demonstrated by your failure to complete programming at MRC as directed in writing on October 18, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
I want to say false, but I also want to say true, because the situation was I was just sitting there and I didn't mind doing the program, but so I guess you might say yes, I did.
So you're saying it's true?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you, sir. Allegation number 2 is a violation of condition number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about September 19th, 2017 per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 26th, 2017. So Mr. Wilson, is that one true or false?
It's true by not being able to get there on time, yes.
Okay, so allegation number 3. Violation of condition number 5, it's demonstrated by your possession of a pipe on or about October 16th, 2017.
Yes.
That's true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Allegation number 4, violation of condition number 5 is demonstrated by your remaining on the property of McDonald's at 1960 East Main Street in Mesa after being asked by management several times to leave. So is that true or false?
True.
All right.
True.
All right, and then the last allegation is violation of condition number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about October 24, 2017 at MRC. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Based on Mr. Wilson's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of the company.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Thank you. Hold on just one second, Mr. Wilson. As in every job, there's paperwork. So there's paperwork here. Just have to mark some paperwork here. Okay, all right, I think I've got it. So that was phase one of the hearing. Now we can start phase two and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. And just as we start this portion of the hearing, we get some information, background information from Mr. Osborne. So just hang on the phone there, we'll be right back with you. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Wilson was released from DOC custody on September 18th, 2017. He was arrested on October 24th, 2017. The parole office, in-office arrest, and was turned back our custody that same day. It was 0 discount days with a community supervision end date of March 19th, 2018. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated assault, 3 years, 6 months. And 2014, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. He's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no STG or gang information noted. He has a moderate disciplinary history with sexual contact noted. Other arrests, 2002, misconduct involving weapons, the Missouri felony conviction, state prison. He has a community risk score of G4V5, and I do have status of charges attached from Senior Parole Officer John Foote, dated Thursday, November 30th of 2017. State's offender was scheduled for a court hearing on 11/15/17 relative to his misdemeanor charges for possession of drugs, paraphernalia, and trespassing in third degree. Offense date was October 16th of 17. Offender was in our custody and unable to appear in court. A bench warrant has been issued, and charges are pending at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. All right, back to you, Mr. Wilson. It looks like you were released and you had an approved placement at the Mesa House, but you were discharged from there because you didn't come back. So what happened then? Why didn't you go back to the Mesa House?
I'll be honest, I actually think about it, I shouldn't have ever gave up because I did to get a job, so I shouldn't have just looked at the bright picture that I actually had something good in mind going for me. And it wasn't nothing about the program, the program was good there, because it kept me out of sobriety, and it kept me more focused on what I need to do. The problem was, I was messing with a young lady, and I let that interfere with my life that I need to be taken care of. And it just, I just got to the point where her and things I know I'm fighting for and stressing myself out trying to make sure I do everything right, and I end up failing. So I know I just gave up and I shouldn't have gave up.
Okay, looks like you were approved to live at 450 North Williams, Apartment C in Mesa. What?
Yes, ma'am.
Who lives there?
That was actually my boss's apartment that he actually was with me rent the room that he was staying in. So, because him and his fiance was going to end up getting their own place anyway, so he was like...
He kind of sublet it to you, huh? So he let you stay there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they hired me, they liked me, and even in the report that my PO put out there, letting me know by Anna Lopez, they even said it to my mom and my parole officer at that time. They actually wanted me to come back to work, like ASAP. Okay. They just wanted me to do what I need to do to take care of myself and make sure I get my mental game back focused.
Okay, was that at Artistic Touch Catering that you were working?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you have a job there waiting if you get released?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a good thing. It's always good to see people be employed. Now let's see, it looks like you were also referred for some urinalysis, okay, and you, on September 19th, you failed to submit. What happened there? Why didn't you go give a urine?
On that day, the truth was, I was trying to handle everything I needed to do. I was trying to get in touch with the lady that does the career service at the parole office in Mesa Drive in University.
Right.
But kind of found out she was sick. So what I did was I went to the food stamp place to get into the food stamp program to get my food stamps so I could be able to eat. And by the time I got done, which was from 11 until almost 5 o'clock, I actually called Anna Lopez and let her know that I probably would end up missing my urinalysis because I just got out and I had to go exactly that day, morning. And I'm not really from Mesa. I'm not from Arizona, so I really didn't know exactly where this place was. So I'm thinking, I'm looking at the address, I'm thinking I have to go all the way in Gilbert, Arizona to go do the urinalysis. I didn't know TASS was right down the street from the parole office.
All right.
Told me that.
Looks like you went the next day and you had a negative result, and then the next, about 3 weeks later, another negative, so that's a good thing. And you also went to CHC for anger management, did the intake, but then you must have been taken back into custody and couldn't do any more.
Yes, ma'am.
And it looks like Mesa House, they were willing to take you back, although it's, I guess they didn't have any beds available for you.
Yes, ma'am. I still actually have almost $300 still there on my books from under my name.
Okay, so you have a little bit of credit there if you need to go back there. But it also, this report also says that then you were subsequently arrested and that you, at that time, you were arrested for criminal trespassing, and those are the charges that we mentioned that are still pending.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were also referred to the MRC program and to Vivre. Why didn't you go to either one of those?
Well, they sent me to MRC, and the lady, I guess, that does the intake thing to let you know if you're eligible to be there, she was saying that my mental status was not fit for that program. So me and my PO at the time, Ana Lopez, he was going to try to give me a V-grade, and I had to wait like another day. And I was sitting there for a week, and the thing about it, I'm one of the type of people, like, if I'm going to do something, I don't mind having to do it. They have you sitting in this place called Sanctions, and you just sit in there. Like, you only get to come outside for 10 minutes at the top of every hour just to smoke a cigarette and get air. It's like, I'm one of the people, like, I don't mind being somewhere, and if I got to be somewhere structured, but I just don't. Like just sitting there hoping, wishing, and wondering if I am going to be in this program or not. Because I didn't mind doing the program, because even the supervisor, he told me, he didn't want him to send me back, you know what I'm saying, back to prison. He'd rather send me somewhere where I can get help.
So,
and I told him, hey, I don't mind getting help.
So, Mr. Wilson, have you ever, I see that you have a prior prison term in Missouri. Did you serve any community supervision there in Missouri?
Yes, I did 10 months parole status there.
And
completed.
And you were fine with that? You did fine with it?
Yes, ma'am. I went to school and everything. I was going to every school, and I stayed out of trouble.
All right. Because you understand one of the most important things, or the most important thing when you're on community supervision is maintaining contact with your parole officer and, you know, working with them, because they want you to succeed too. That's their job, is to make you have a successful transition back into the community.
Yes.
So, okay, so it looks like in this case, though, you happened to be, what were you doing at McDonald's that day? What were you doing?
I'm going to be honest, after a year of sobriety, of being sober, I ended up relapsing. And I hate that I relapsed, and that's why I was willing to go to MRC so I can get help, because I want to live a clean life. I've been doing drugs ever since I was 9 years old.
What drug do you use, Mr. Wilson?
I put like this. All my life I've been using marijuana and cocaine.
Okay.
And I just like, Ben, you recently just got back into using meth. I only used meth like one time when I was in 2006. Back in Missouri, and I just got into it, but I'm not an everyday user. Like, If I use, I'm going to use it for about a couple of days and I'm done. I'm good.
Right.
And I need to get away from it. And that's why I didn't have no problem going to get help.
So is your current,
really
is your current your conviction in 2014 for dangerous drugs, was that around meth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that was a meth use.
I'm not gonna lie, yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Questions? Okay. Mr. Johnson.
So, during your conversation with Ms. Rittenhouse, sir, you made a statement that you just gave up. Can you kind of explain that a little bit more for me, sir?
Basically, I sometimes get a point in my life, and I'm one of them type of people, I care more about other people, and I put that girl's life or her kids above my own status of myself. And it made me to the point because she's going through some things and I'm trying to help, and I don't want no people I grew up like that. Like, if you got a big heart, I got a real huge heart. And one thing about it, I'll do anything for a person. I do anything for anybody else except for myself. I have, like, I care for people and others that's around me that I put in my life that I really care for myself. And basically, that's what I did. I basically put more status into her and her kids, trying to help them instead of putting it into myself like I should have. And I basically just gave up and was like, you know, walked away from the halfway house and was like, man, I stressed myself to the point where I was like, I can't do it when I know I can do it. And I do that a lot to myself. I always hinder myself. And I know I need to learn to stop hindering myself. That's why I say I don't have no problem of doing anything. If I got to do a program, I don't mind doing it. I don't have no problem with it. At least one thing about me, I say, if I know I need help with something, I will be willing to go ask somebody for help.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wilson.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Wilson, have you ever completed an anger management course?
Back in Missouri, I did on the yard.
Okay.
I did in prison.
All right.
Anger management to ourselves and all that.
All right. I just noticed they had referred you for one, and you did the intake, but didn't get to complete it because you were back in. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Well, Mr. Wilson, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, if you would like to, without repeating anything you've already told us. So, what else would you like the board to know?
One thing I probably say is that I just want another chance because I know I can do something. And I want to make my life better. And that's all I got to say. I just want to make my life better. I'm tired. I can't. I'm almost 40 years old, and it's time for me to lay myself down and say, hey, it's time to get life right and hit the right track. And I'm willing to do that.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. The board is going to go into discussion. We operate under the open meeting law, so we haven't discussed your case before right now. And so we're going to enter discussion and make a determination, and we'll get back to you. During discussion, if you just remain on the phone there and just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Wilson is an individual who has a relatively short involvement with criminal justice system, just one prison term in Missouri and one here, not involved with gangs, but does struggle with drug abuse. He seems to be a compassionate and a kind person. As he said, he cares for others ahead of himself, and that his involvement with a woman and her kids, trying to help them, is what caused him to not complete his course of treatment at the Mesa House, or his residence there at the Mesa House. He does have a job waiting for him, which is important. I am kind of on the fence on this one, so I'd like to hear some input from my fellow board members.
I'm going to pass too, but Madam Chair, but he's a very interesting person. I think that in addition to his use of drugs. I think that one of his challenges, and we usually don't say this, but I think in listening to him, I came to this conclusion, is that he does need some mental health, well, I'll just say evaluation. I won't go any further than that. And I think that, you know, he sounds like an intelligent young man, but he's still not there. As he said, he's more interested, that got him in trouble, he was more interested in his girlfriend and her kids than he was himself. And he just hasn't focused on himself enough. And I'm, at this particular moment, I'm like you, I'm kind of on the fence, but he's one of those that, and he's scheduled to be out in March, so he doesn't have that much longer, on in terms of his release date. But I'm just going to leave it at that. At the moment, I'm still on the fence.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
I'm just not feeling that statement he made when he said he was out, he just gave up. That just kind of bothered me a little bit when he said he just gave up. And his explanation was that he cared more about other people than he do himself, but he can't really help other people until he gets himself together.
Right. Okay, Mr. Quinones?
I'll keep it short, and that is his last incident offense kind of speaks to a lot of what we're talking about. It was a combination of aggravated assault and dangerous drugs, and that's just a bad combination.
Okay, thank you very much. Good discussion. Based on information in warrant 2017W3604, our discussion with Mr. Wilson, information provided by Mr. Osborne at the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke Mr. Wilson's community supervision, as he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by failing to complete assigned live at the assigned residence from his parole officer had assigned him, not completing an anger management course, and then of course being somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, criminal trespassing and the misdemeanor charges that are still pending and for which there's a bench warrant. So that is my motion.
Second. Agree.
All right, thank you. So Mr. Wilson, back to you. You heard the discussion, the board's discussion. We really are feeling very positive about you, and I hope you won't take the revocation as a negative. You've really only got till March, and we really want you to succeed, and we believe that you can. We heard it in what you said today. It's just that, you know, on the airplane when they say put your oxygen mask on first before you help somebody else, that's kind of what we need you to do, is to really take this 3 months and focus on you. Make sure that you're feeling well, that you are getting yourself together, that you've got a good plan so when you get out, it sounds like you've got a good job waiting and you've got a lot of support from your boss. If your boss was actually letting you live in his apartment, you must have a good relationship there. So that part of your life sounds like it's going to be just fine, but the other part that you got to deal with is getting your head straight around the anger management. Maybe there's a course you can take there, I'm not sure. And then getting your head right about the drug use. But sir, we want you to succeed. So thank you very much for participating in your hearing today. Your hearing is concluded. And if you'd give the phone back to your CO3, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson.
Yep.